With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom by simply visiting www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
Welcome back to Greenwashed. Hope you're having a great morning so far, and we have motivated you enough to spare 80 minutes out of your schedule sometime this week to go and watch Climate, the movie written and directed by Martin Durkin that came out last week. It is free to watch, available on whatever device you use. It's also on YouTube for now. Don't quote me on it. It could go down anytime. But they have their own website, climatethemovie.net, where it should be accessible, unless our tech overlords have other plans.
They might have. They just might have, Jaspreet. And they'll be listening to you. They'll be listening to you and me and saying, geez, we've got to shut those guys down.
Totally. And that's why it's time to now head into the climate crazy segment. And talking of tech overlords, this weekend just gone, I sort of had a skirmish on Facebook. You know, every time I think tech overlords is nothing, I'm part of this. I do have a Facebook account. I use it very extensively, very often. And it has its pluses and minuses, but my account is open. I decided a long time ago that I'm not going to restrict or lock or block my account. It's there for anyone who wants to, you know, pop anything, pop a comment. Well, you just show yourself for what you are, who you are. So I've never really blocked anyone, seriously, unless, of course, things have gotten too far personal. And sometimes they have. But what do you do when you're being censored by the Ministry for the Environment, Dawn? And that's what happened to me over the weekend. Mm-hmm. So on about 2 days back, 3 days back, MFE, Ministry for the Environment, they popped up a post, which was they had linked to NewsHub, this article that we had discussed last week in the Climate Crazy, that the planet is shattering heat records for the ninth month in a row. So MFE piped in and it said, last month was the planet's hottest February on record, ninth month in a row, 1.77 degrees warmer in February than the average pre-industrial times. Copernicus, the EU's climate monitoring service, has found. And global ocean temperature is also the highest again. So they've quoted the Copernicus data from EU twice in their post, ultimately linked this one to a news article carried by NewsHub. So I just responded. I said, you're going along with NewsHub's conclusions, MFE. You know, the article is using pre-industrial times, 1850 onwards, less than 200 years of the Earth's 4 to 5 billion years of existence. And I said, if you go back, and I'm going to quote what I wrote, because I was censored for this. I said, less than 200 years out of 5,000, that's a blink. Go back a little further and you'll find the little essay that came out around the same time, 1300 to 1800 AD. Go back a bit further, you'll come across the medieval Rome period. 900 to 1300 AD, when civilization flourished, so-and-so, and temperature was 1.5 degrees higher than today. And my last line there very clearly said, I said, the Earth's going to do what it's always done, change. So I accept the climate changes. Hey, we see it every day. If you live in Southland, you see it four times a day.
Right, we see weather changes four times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. Thank you, Don. Let me not. Yeah.
Because otherwise we get caught out and we get caught out by the
climate
people.
And weather.
Yeah, yep. Climate and weather. But I always used to say, and sorry, I'm putting you off your track for a moment, and I got hell for this. I termed it always climate variation, knowing that the climate varies depending where you are, the climate varies. And, of course, people didn't like that I didn't use the term climate change. And as soon as I left Federated Farmers in 2011, my successor changed it back to climate change. So he fell back into line after me being out of line for 3 years.
So my daughter's books, they say that climate is long-term weather variations, not short-term. But in any case, so I get a message after a certain gentleman started replying to me, and I popped in this link to the same movie, climatethemovie.net, that have a listen to this. Kept it very clean. I minded my P's and Q's, and I get this message on Facebook Messenger from the Ministry for the Environment. Kia ora, Jaspreet. We want to foster an informed and engaged online community where everyone can be part of the constructive conversations about New Zealand's environment. In our view, debating if climate change is real is not constructive conversation. It is real. It is happening. We need to act. The science is clear and settled. Of course, everyone has the right to say, and you've done so. However, repeating your views does not contribute to a constructive conversation. Because of this, we have hidden your comment. You must follow our social media guidelines. They are saying debating if climate change is real is not a constructive conversation. But the very last line of my comment was the Earth's climate has always changed. But there we are. There we have Ministry for the Environment. At that point, I thought they're only, you know, censoring me here. But now when I go back to this post from 2 days back, you can no longer comment on it. Ministry of Environment Limited, who can comment on this post? The science is settled.
Yep, settled. And you know, I also interacted on that post and wanted to respond to an antagonist, and I've been stopped from doing it. So it's a bit weird, really, isn't it? I mean, we were interacting quite sensibly with people, getting pushback, and we were giving it back as well. And in the end, the MFE thought, they're mightier than us, so they just shut us down. That's really constructive, MFE. That's really constructive. How many people work in the MFE, Jaspreet?
I don't quote me on it. What are the numbers today? But I do remember last year when Vicky Robertson, who headed the MFE for quite a while, left part of her speech at that point. She wrote about how they had maintained, she was proud of maintaining the culture of MFE while overseeing its growth from 320 to about 1,200 odd. Because I remember thinking in my head that time, last year, quadrupled in numbers MFE did. And Vicky Robertson, ironically enough, went to the Productivity Commission, which is now defunct. I see a Productivity Commission's website says from the end of February, it is no longer, I don't know, in action, whatever the new government has done. But so no wonder MFE has a lot of people to sitting with time on their hands who are looking for how to censor people or, you know, how to just shut down any debate. Imagine, Don, 320 to 1,200 people.
Yeah, it's a scandal. Isn't it good that RCR doesn't have anyone censoring you and I? It's fabulous. We can just do our stuff and, like the other presenters, do their stuff. It's sick, the number of communications people that are in local, central, government, doesn't matter. There's lots of them in local government too. The big cities have, like Auckland City, did I read, has dozens of communications experts.
That's what they're saying. They just need social media censors. Yep, let's call them fact checkers.
So I got pushback too, didn't I? I mean, I was giving you a little bit of support, of course, as I would. And I got this guy coming back at me, and he'd been getting at you as well. But he came back at me and said, and I have got no response, no right of response to this. Science works on data and evidence, not opinion. Well, what have we just said for as long as we've been on this show? He says, if you have better, then write a paper and show us your evidence. Get it peer-reviewed, and if it stands up, go collect your Nobel. I think he means my Nobel Peace Prize. He says Nobel. Anyway, my argument is, I think exhibit number one, the movie we've just presented today, has John Clauser in it. He is a Nobel Prize winner. So I rest my case, Mr. Tichburn, who was the antagonist, who's we've all been shut up from talking to each other now. So I suppose that's it. It's the end of the this penny section.
That science is settled. And that's the most unscientific thing I've ever heard. But I'm still on this bandwagon yet, Don. I'm not quite done with MFE yet.
Oh, no.
Because, sorry, not sorry.
Well, because, just remember that the Minister for the Environment resides quite close to you, Jaspreet.
That's fine. This is also a democracy when I last checked on.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm perfectly happy to back up every single thing I say. Last week, earlier in the week, Ministry for Environment put up a post saying that introducing Junior Land Care, a program for Rangitahi who are experiencing eco-anxiety. So NZ Land Care Trust has joined forces with Bupa, an insurer, to champion nature regeneration and address eco-anxiety and mental well-being of New Zealand's youth. This will provide opportunities for young people to actively contribute to solutions through a series of nature regeneration projects, and it will be carried out by schools, youth groups, and taking action to nature to protect nature has proven to alleviate eco-anxiety and address mental well-being, says Dr. Nick Edgar, Chief Executive of NZ Land Care Trust. I don't know what you call it, Don. I call it gaslighting. First, terrify the kids witless. terrify the kids witless for years, decades, all of their childhood about everything is how it's going to self-destruct, self-annihilate. They're going to fry alive and then offer them these crumbs, you know, do something. This is diabolical. As a mom, as a New Zealander, generally as someone whose taxpayer dollars are going to fund this, are funding this machine we talk of, I'm aghast.
Mm. Well, you've got every right to be aghast. These things grow legs. They start out, like I remember when the New Zealand Landcare Trust started, and a lot of farmers were involved, and I was involved with some of them, and they had a good reason for thinking this was a good idea. But you can see that it actually has just expanded its remit. And I don't think it was ever, ever intended at the start to have a junior Landcare organization. So, yeah, I think you're right. But, you know, when I was a kid, we used to go on nature studies trips. We used to write articles, and we do social studies, and you do all this sort of stuff. And that was useful. It gave you a direction, and it gave you a bit of an understanding. But now I think what you're saying is the influences of these supposedly once well-meaning organizations has just got too invasive in people's lives.
Tell me one outfit today, Don, that's not on the climate bandwagon. Tell me one outfit, any ministry, any organization, any school, any business, because that is where the money tree grows.
Climate
and that
and
money
treaties.
Tree, it is growing by stripping ordinary New Zealanders of their wealth.
Climate
their
and
savings.
Treaty. Climate and treaty are eating us alive. Now, you know, when we started the show a year ago, and boy, it was happy birthday last week, wasn't it? You and I blew out a candle, one. but we set up a program called Greenwashed, and I was really struggling to think how could we fill this content. But it's clear that the biggest greenwashing of all is under the climate banner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is, there are so many people feeding at the trough. It's hard for us to even picture it now. But we've been, those of us that have been around a long time have let this slowly evolve to a point where it almost became irrelevant. You know, oh, it's nothing to see here.
Yeah.
But it's deep. The swamp is really deep with these people. And no matter where we look, we call them grifters. They're everywhere. And their usefulness is not something I can see.
Questionable?
Yeah, questionable. Yeah.
Yep.
So look, you're right to question everything like this. I mean,
but these are the government departments, Don. These are not even private businesses, because private businesses, one would think, you know, all right, that's your this thing. But these are taxpayer funded.
But the swamp is Wellington. Mm. That's the problem, and it's Wellington and all its offshoots. The swamp's in every capital city, every parliament, where every parliament resides. The swamp is deep. These people don't want you and I to have our own life and be responsible for ourselves. They want to try and influence every part
of it. If you're not careful, Don, someone's going to mistake you for the other Don, Donald Trump, drain the swamp.
Yeah, well, I'm happy. I mean, I love that statement. I mean, I went to Wellington way, way back, and I said I was going to go after the reef fish. You know, and it same sort of thing. No, it didn't go down well, but anyway, they saw me off.
Yes, and I wonder why you were the only one who didn't get anything, any honours, any particular accolades.
I think I know.
No, moving.
I feel absolutely jilted. I've been needing counselling ever since.
Yeah, not ego anxiety though. Yeah.
No.
The moving anyway. From. One ministry to a couple of other taxpayer-funded organizations. So I saw this program because I am, you know, I laugh a minute and I look at fun stuff on the internet all the time. I came across this virtual Oceania workshop that is happening at the end of May, 29th May to 31st May. And it says, if you design or fund programs to encourage, in quotes, environmental behaviors, you will find this workshop invaluable. Held over Zoom virtually, the workshop consists of three sessions, each of 4 hours. And this is Dr. Mackenzie Moher is an award-winning author, founder, presenter of community-based social marketing. This particular behavior change workshop, that's virtual, and costs at the cheapest ticket, $695 if you're a student, virtual tickets, is being funded, amongst others, or at least they are a part of this, Auckland Council, Dairy NZ, Sustainability Victoria, and others. We have, again, levy-funded, taxpayer-funded, rates-funded organizations working on how to modify our behavior. Now, where have I heard this before? Keep the masks on. They encourage compliance. Even though we had, you know, Ministry of Health and Bloomfield, Ashley Bloomfield being overruled at one point, that the masks are a constant reminder of the pandemic. Let's keep them on. Let's nudge people into doing the right thing. Let's coerce them into doing the right thing. Man, oh man. So there will be, I don't know, 3 days of indoctrinating people?
Well, of course, that's what it's about. And they'll come out of their sort of standing tall about their the agenda that they've been brainwashed with. I mean, Dairy NZ in there really stands out like the proverbials to me. I mean, you've got the Auckland City Council, you've got BC Hydro, which not sure where that's from, Sustainability Victoria and New South Wales EPA, and Townsville City. Dairy NZ fits in that group. How does that work? I don't get it.
They have accolades there. They have, you know, reviews there from such as Local Government Infrastructure Services. Brisbane, Australia has said that we utilize this workshop and this community-based social marketing has been the single most significant influence in the design of our water and energy efficiency programs. The Climate Smart Home Service and the WaterWise Home Service reached more than 500,000 households across Queensland. You know, we've Wellington Council already has behavior change leads there. They have two that their social media pages talk of. But here we are talking of what is Dairy NZ going to do? What is it going to get its farmers to do? Because they were funded for industry good.
Yeah, well, there's been a bit of doubt about that for some time. You know, it's they've worked within the rules that they've been given, they would argue. But I know there's many farmers who have put up evidence, put up very good evidence to some of their team, and they've been shunned. So who are they working for? Clearly they want to have a comfortable life in amongst their peers. And if the peers are in those groups that we talk about, then they ain't representing farming.
No. And if you want to have a look at the blurb with this, the website is, listeners, CBSM.com. I'll repeat, CBSM.com. That CBSM stands for community-based social marketing with a byline saying we foster sustainable, healthy, and safe behaviors. And they say their workshops are invaluable for anyone who wants individuals or businesses to engage in environmentally beneficial behaviors. The science be damned. That's just all. Yeah.
Is this part of the C40s? Do you think this is part of the C40 city stuff as well, Jasper?
I mean, they have reached, you know, places across the ditch of over 500,000 households. The Australian local government departments are making use of this. But this gentleman, he, because it's a Zoom one, he does it world over. He does it world over. He's the recipient of the American Psychological Association's inaugural award. Each time I hear inaugural award, my brain ticks up, right? What new gravy train have they thought of here? So the trainer, Dr. Doug Mackenzie Moher, has been the author of this book called Fostering Behavior Change Minute and the recipient of the American Psychological Association's inaugural award for innovation in environmental psychology. There was psychology when I was growing up. There is no environmental psychology, Don.
Oh, well, when you analyze it, it's always been about the environment, but not the physical environment. It's been the environment of your mind. So now they're certainly brainwashing, nudging, all that stuff. We've talked about it for months. Open your eyes, people. That's what this is about. These people are manipulative, deceptive, highly trained individuals designed to sort of seduce your brain.
Completely. Completely. We had similar news also come out of, and I'm going to try and track it down, but we had similar news come out of Germany, didn't we, in the last week, Don, for climate change, where they are openly now talking of the fact they have their ethics committee, slip of tongue. The German Ethics Committee has released a paper recently talking about the fact that how a little modification, curtailment of your behaviors might just be necessary to do our bit for the climate. And Zero Hedge has this great article on what happened there. And it says, and I'm going to quote them because it was in German, but there's a translation available. So the German Ethics Council's statement out says that on grounds of justice, it can be morally required to contribute to measures to tackle climate change if one's own exercise of freedom interferes in an unjust manner with the freedom and welfare of others or future generations, for example, through consumption that is harmful to the climate, the authorities may intervene with restrictions of freedom. Hello. My very existence, because I'm living and breathing here, not to mention of what I consume, so they can restrict my freedom. Isn't that interesting?
Well, you would have, coming from Germany, you would have thought,
they know better.
They think, do they not know better? Yeah. This breaking of the Berlin Wall, did that not help?
Obviously it didn't. We forget lessons so easily. You said that in the beginning of the show today. We don't remember. We forget.
That's right. We've 30 years later, 35 years, boom, here we have this nonsense. Yeah. It's staggering, isn't it? The Ethics Council says.
Yeah. And defining climate change, the German Ethics Council says, as a man-made issue due to, among other factors, fossil fuels, destruction of forests, etc., etc. The organization says Germany also needs to take into account the long history of colonialism and industrialization, as well as ongoing neo-colonial dependencies. Good God, word salads. But basically, if I take one point out of it, it is like your freedoms are a problem here.
Yeah.
The fact that you consume too much surf is a problem.
Oh, all of that. And interestingly, I read an article just today as well, where there's an American senator questioning the EID of cattle, you know, that we do in New Zealand. Because if we have EID, we can actually then track the volume of cows. And maybe they think that for somehow that produce is going to be tracked right to the consumer and then measure the consumer's uptake or of meat. I mean, it gets even a step past biosecurity, which that EID was all about, and food safety.
Oh, Goebbels would be shaking his head and going, God, I could learn, take over, you know, leaf or two out of the books of these guys.
Oh, yep. Look at that. You're going to read that?
Yep. This one is from The Guardian. Good old Guardian never fails to deliver. This one. Fossil fuel firms could be tried in US for homicide over climate-related deaths, say experts. And Public Citizen, that's an NGO, proposed the idea last year to prosecute companies for millions of deaths due to climate change. So are we now going to have, you know, we've already in this country, the coroner's death certificates are not worth the paper they're written on. You can have natural death due to unknown causes. Maybe this one could be substituting for details on some death certificates now, Don, climate change. That passed due to fossil fuel emissions or something. I don't know.
Well, what I've observed in recent weeks is the building up of cases that the lawyers, you know, like this, that the lawyers are just going to have a field day out of. Doesn't matter, every place on the planet. And this is a panacea for lawyers now. Legislation, net zero type legislation or the zero carbon acts and the like, in the end, you get the lawyers for climate action, and there'll be many more of them trying to set up their next career move, which is, you know, sucking money into their vortex to feed themselves. Well, I can't stand it, but, you know, that's the problem with legislation that gives privilege.
Maybe you and I being uncharitable, Don, you know, after all, we both live around Invercargill, And 2022, RNZ reported that Invercargill is the deadliest place in New Zealand when it comes to air pollution. And about it shows air pollution kills 3,300 people each year, with vehicle emissions responsible for 2/3, nearly 10 times the road death. And Invercargill topped the death ratings in New Zealand for air pollution from vehicle exhaust, domestic fires, and industry combined.
Does that sound plausible?
I read this out to my mom, and my mom doesn't often use four-letter words. And she's been here 4 times now. She goes, then we should all be dead where I live in India, shouldn't we? What's wrong with your country?
I understand that around the PM, the microns are the measurement they use, but this headline was just nonsense. But we just move on. Apart from us, no one else picks it up. They just move on as if it's gospel. So,
Let's be restrained here, because these guys are not stepping back. They keep stepping it up a notch.
Well, it's intriguing. Late last week, the Ministry for Primary Industry said it's going to terminate the employment of 230 people. Mm. And I thought, well, that's intriguing, because I remember being part of the formation of the Ministry for Primary Industry. It was part of my wish list with John Key, was to have a super ministry. But 230, isn't it interesting? If they really wanted to look after their fellow men and women, they would sort of say, well, we should perhaps all take a pay cut and hold our jobs. Mm. But none of them are doing that. But secondly, none of the ministers, I don't know what their direction is from the new ministers, but I imagine is to reduce their size of their organisations back to something that is absolutely needed. So let's hope this pressure continues. And you do feel sorry for the 230. But look, I don't know if you've read the headlines in our local media down here. We're losing plenty of firms and are losing jobs.
Stabbycraft, was it the other day?
Yes, Stabbycraft, the boat, 30. There's more of them. I've been into local merchandise stores, only person in the shop. I haven't seen that in 30, 40 years, maybe 50 years. Haven't seen it like that before. Hard to believe. So we've got this recession happening, and it is going to be tough for those people that have got jobs that are, but they're just teetering on the edge, because they've got mortgages and they've got families, and it just shows you the damage that, and it is left-wing policies, do when the chips are down, the people get, some people get hurt.
And now for the BBC. This article caught my eye last week. Climate change is fueling the US insurance problem, by their features correspondent Lucy Sheriff. And she talks about the fact that extreme weather events are making it hard to insure homes in certain parts of the US. What will happen when insurance companies simply stop insuring? There are people whose insurances have increased from $450 for whatever it was, home and contents, I'm guessing, to close to $2,000. And this is for someone who was in Texas and lived in an area a bit outside town. And all of that, she says, it's unaffordable. And how has your insurance fared over last year, Don? Have you seen an increase in yours?
Well, I complained last year that I think my home and buildings insurance went up about 25%, and of course we're expecting it to go up significantly more, as I would assume more and more people will be reducing their insurances, taking bigger excesses or something like that, because their premiums are just going through the roof. And what are we funding? There's nothing more galling to me is to when people have a if they have a flood or a something that's really sad on them, tough on them, like in certain towns or cities in this country. But then all of a sudden people come to the table and say, but I didn't have any insurance. All of a sudden it's my problem. Mm. How does that work?
But right now, what is happening? I mean, I get your point where you are not, you've not had, but what is happening is, say, in the case that I cited on BBC, this lady's insurance went up because of a change in floodplain mapping.
Sure,
in 2018,
sure.
The National Weather Service updated its models to reflect 25 years of flood data. Thousands of homes in Austin were upgraded to risk of flood from 1 in 500 to a 1 in every 100 years. So that's it. A tabletop exercise.
Yep.
You just map it, you change it, and there you are. You're suddenly uninsurable.
Yep.
Or eye-wateringly expensive, if at all.
Yep. Yeah, all designed to have this managed retreat, supposedly, is it, Jasper? Mm-hmm. Is that how you'd say it? But no matter what, you and I, who may not live in a floodplain, mm-hmm. will pay for it as well. We just will. It's sad. I don't know how you beat it. I mean, it's built on these models that are being, we're being told, are
implausible.
And you know, you look at the Netherlands or places around the world that have built seawalls, or they've been adaptive. That's what they do. I mean, there's articles in Wellington, I think it is, where if you built a seawall around the south coast and you built it to a certain height today, build it so that you can make it different in the next 10 years or 20 years. But, you know, there's a way to adapt to all of this stuff.
But then that way is not lucrative for the ones who are pushing this agenda. Now, if you are in Wellington, or even if you're not, you might have heard of this organization called Capiti Calm. The website is Capiti, C-A-L-M, CapitiCalm.com. And the C-A-L-M, it's an acronym for Calm, Alarmist, Law, Madness. And the byline is adaptation zones could cost you your home. Have a look at their website. Now, they are being absolutely hammered. And for now, the rest of us, it's coming for the rest of us, because this country, New Zealand, has decided that we will be a world first in being the only country right now, to the best of my knowledge, of using a particular climate model that United Nations itself has said is implausible, unlikely to unfold, because it says, because the assumptions on it are completely out of whack with what is happening. But we are using that, and suddenly we are getting these extreme flooding and extreme sea level rise possibilities. And because of that, people are now going to be at a risk of being moved out. It's going to be called managed retreat, or you're going to be told your insurance is going up so much. So you might just beat a hasty retreat on your own because you can't afford it. Or you stick to your guns and one day a state of emergency gets declared and you have to leave the home. Whatever happens. But Capiti Calm also had a meeting, and the video of this is available on YouTube. If you look for Capiti Calm meeting, 19th March. So I listened to the whole video. It was great. They had three presenters, John?
Yeah, three.
Three main presenters. So they have a group there that has been battling this for over a decade. But guess what? The bureaucrats keep coming back. So if you think that's just a BBC headline talking about someone in Austin, Texas, you've got another thing coming, because it's coming for you.
Yeah, and of course, the bureaucrats have a former prime minister leading the charge, don't they?
Yes, Don. But don't quote me on the name. That gentleman was before my time in New Zealand. What was the name?
Jim Bolger.
Jim Bolger.
Yeah. Get a figurehead. Always helps, doesn't it?
Always.
All power to the Capiti ratepayer groups, Calm, and the other one. What was the other one?
Salima's
one. Yeah. There's two of them. So look, all power to them. They need a lot of support.
And they need a lot of awareness. There are people already fighting this good fight for you, be it Capiti Calm or be it Salima, who's the chair of the Coastal Ratepayers United crew. They call themselves CRU, crew team. I mean, this is just in one area. Why is ratepayer money being used to battle ratepayer money?
Oh, it's always the way. And I go back to my dislike for the term submissions. When you supposedly put in your input to annual plans or to things like this, it's called a submission. Well, you know what submit means, don't you? It means giving in.
Defer to authority, yeah.
Yes, and that's what sadly a lot of this sort of the end game appears to be. Interestingly, just while we're on that, there's a very good group set up called Concerned Citizens, is it, for councils? Or I need to get that better in my head, but there's a ratepayers group being set up that'll go nationwide by the look of it. And okay. I think that's a first. So that's what's got to happen. I mean, Fed Farmers used to do nationwide submissions to councils, all 84 of them at the time. But in the end, you do need a concerned citizens group set up to sort of get a nationwide push. So urban and rural together, hopefully.
Yep. So if you've had enough of the climate crises, I know I've had, check out these two websites, capiticalm.com. And the other one from the Coastal Ratepayers United, their website is www.cru.org.nz. And that's headed by Salima Padamse, who Dawn and I have had. And get a dosage of some sanity. Interrupt the alarmism here. And support these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we had Kate Mason from the Australian, is it perhaps just up
Community
from
Voices? Community Voices.
Was it the Sapphire Coast she lives on? Anyway, they're talking about similar issues there.
And the same is happening in the US, you know, Don? Mm. Almost. I mean, call me cynical, but it's almost like a global plan.
Oh, couldn't be.
Well, that's it for the climate crisis this Monday morning. Dawn and I will be back after a break. Thank you so much for joining us.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.